patience with everyone. One weird fantasy obsessed the mind of a certain unfortunate fellow. Somehow he was convinced that the local chief of police was Eliyahu HaNavi, and that the governor of the city was Mashiach, and he would tell his discovery to all he knew. His family was sorely troubled by this, so they decided to take him to the holy tzaddik Reb Simcha Bunim of Pshischa. The poor man had barely opened the door of the Rebbe's study when he excitedly gave him the news, "Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach live in my city." When the Rebbe asked who they were, he told him of his finding. "And who am I?" asked the Rebbe. "Why, you are the Rebbe," answered the visitor. "Is it possible," then asked Reb Simcha Bunim, "that I, who am a Rebbe, do not know that Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach are in your city?" The man admitted that the Rebbe surely knew, but he kept this information to himself. "Very well," said the tzaddik, "you too can know it, yet not reveal it to anyone just like I do." The man returned to his hometown and never raised the subject again, and eventually recovered his sanity completely. Our Chachamim taught, a person should always be humble and patient like Hillel, and not impatient like Shammai. Two people once made a bet that whoever would make Hillel angry would receive 400 zuz. Friday afternoon, while Hillel was washing himself, one of them went to try and irritate him. He passed by the door of Hillel's house, calling out with chutzpah, "Is Hillel there? Is Hillel there?" Hearing him, Hillel dressed himself and went out to him, asking what he needs. "I have a question to ask," he said. "Ask, my son," Hillel prompted. "Why are the heads of the Babylonians round?" To which Hillel answered, "My son, you have asked a great question. It is because they do not have skillful midwives." The man left, waited a while, and returned, calling out once again, "Is Hillel there? Is Hillel there?" Hillel got dressed again and came out asking what he needs. "I have a question to ask," the man said. "Why are the eyes of the Talmudim bleared?" Hillel listened patiently and replied, "My son, you have asked a great question. It is because they live in sandy places." The man left for a while and returned a third time. "Is Hillel there? Is Hillel there?" Hillel put on his robe and went outside. "My son, what do you require?" To which the man responded with another question, "Why are the feet of the Africans wide?" "My son, you have asked a great question," Hillel tolerantly replied. "It is because they live in watery marshes." The man continued roughly, "I have many questions to ask, but I am afraid that you may become angry." Thereupon Hillel sat himself down before him, saying, "Ask all the questions you have." As if he was unaware, the man asked, "Are you the Hillel who is called the Nasi of the Eden?" "Yes," Hillel replied. The man retorted, "If that is you, may there not be many like you." "Why, my son?" "Because I have lost 400 zuz because of you," he replied. "Always be careful of your moods," Hillel answered. "You can lose 400 zuz, and yet pay another 400 zuz, but Hillel will never take offense." A goy once came to Shammai and asked, "How many taters do you have?" "Two," Shammai replied, "Teir Shebiksav and Teir Shebalpeh." "Regarding the Teir Shebiksav, I believe you, but not with respect to the Teir Shebalpeh. Make me a ger on condition that you teach me only Teir Shebiksav." Shammai scolded him, sending him away angrily. When the goy went to Hillel, he accepted him as a ger, teaching him on the first day Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The next day Hillel changed the order of the letters. "But yesterday you did not teach them to me like this," the ger protested. "Then you need to rely on me, don't you?" "Then rely on me with regards to the Teir Shebalpeh as well." On another occasion, a different goy came to Shammai, asking him to make him a ger on condition that he teach him the entire Torah while he stands on one foot. Shammai pushed him away with a ruler in his hand. When the goy went to Hillel, he was told, "What is hateful to you, do not do to another. That is the entire Torah, while the rest is an explanation. Go and learn it." There was another incident where a goy passed the Beis Medrash and heard the Melamed teaching about the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. The goy went to Shammai and told him, "Make me a ger on condition that you appoint me a Kohen Gadol." Shammai pushed him with a ruler in his hand, so the goy went to Hillel, who asked him, "Can any man be appointed as a king if he does not know the arts of government? Go and learn the arts of government," meaning that to be a Kohen one must learn the Torah. When the goy came to the Pasuk V'hazor HaKorev Yumos and the stranger that approaches the Mishkan Shaddai, he asked, "To whom does this apply?" "Even to David Melech Yisrael," was the answer. The goy thought, "If Bnei Yisrael, who are called Banim LaHashem, and Hashem's Becher, have this written about them, how much more so a mere ger who comes now with his staff and traveling bag?" He later returned to Shammai asking, "How could I possibly have been fit to be a Kohen Gadol? Isn't it written in the Torah otherwise?" He went back to Hillel and said to him, "Hillel the Humble One, let brachos rest on your head for bringing me under the wings of the Shekhinah." Sometime later, the three gerim met together, each one telling his story. They concluded, "Shammai's impatience sought to drive us from the world, but Hillel's humbleness brought us under the wings of the Shekhinah." The holy tzaddik of Shmelka of Nikolsburg had a friend, a Talmud Chacham and Yorei Shemayim, but extremely stubborn, the Rav of Yanov. For the chasna of the Rav's son, many of the Yanov townsmen journeyed to the distant town where the chasna was to be held. While traveling, the Rav stopped to find a quiet spot in the forest in which to daven mincha, and those traveling in his carriage waited respectfully for his return. But when the sun set and there was no sign of him, they set out to look for him amongst the trees, becoming increasingly anxious as night fell. Eventually they decided to continue on, thinking that he had joined some other carriage traveling to the chasna. On their arrival, though, they were greatly alarmed, for the father of the chasna was not there. Having no choice, they celebrated the chasna without him. They searched for him on the way home, but were unsuccessful, and neither did they find him when they arrived back in Yanov. Actually, the Rav had lost his way in that endless forest, becoming confused by the roundabout tracks. He wandered for weeks, surviving on whatever fruit he could find. So distressed was he by his tribulations that he lost track of time and began keeping Shabbos one day early. But in tzchus of his Torah learning, Hashem protected him from harm until at long last he found his way back to Yanov. Thursday afternoon, when the Rav began preparing for Shabbos, his family tried to explain that his calculations had become confused, but nothing could make him budge. On Friday, he behaved as if the holy day had already arrived, and Shabbos he treated like a weekday, reprimanding his family for their stubbornness. Rabbanim and Chachamim from all around tried to convince him that he was wrong, but to no avail. When Reb Shmelka of Nikolsburg heard about this, he immediately set out for Yanov, arriving on Thursday. The Rav of Yanov invited him for Shabbos, and Reb Shmelka agreed to be his guest and told the people of Yanov to prepare for Shabbos. On Thursday afternoon, the townsmen dressed in their Bigdei Shabbos and went to Shul. Reb Shmelka saw to it that his host served as chazan for Kabbalah Shabbos, while he himself and all the others quietly davened the weekday Maariv. Then, as if it were Shabbos, the Rav, his family, and many others sat down for a Suda Shabbos. Reb Shmelka remarked to his host that it would be right to turn this occasion into a Suda Seidah for his miraculous survival, by serving a few extra bottles of wine. He then saw to it that his host drink a large amount of strong wine to make him fall into a deep sleep. When the Rav fell asleep, Reb Shmelka told the townsmen to leave and return the following night on Liel Shabbos. Reb Shmelka stayed to ensure that the Rav would not be disturbed, and did not even go to shul on Friday night, but davened alone in the house of the Rav. After davening, the townsmen came to the Shabbos table and found the Rav still sound asleep. They had their Suda Shabbos, and at midnight Reb Shmelka woke his host up. "Rav of Yanov," he said, "please join us for Birchas HaMazon." The Rav washed his hands and joined the rest of the Urchim. After Shabbos, all the local dignitaries came to offer Reb Shmelka their whispered thanks, to which he responded by making them give their promise never to make the slightest mention of the whole episode, and until the day of his death, the Rav never discovered what had happened.